This is a public news service update, the first American Pope. I'm Mike Clifford. Cardinal Robert Francis Prevost, a native of Chicago, who is now the first American-born pope, has spent most of his career outside the U.S. ministering to the dispossessed and marginalized. That for the Washington Post. They report the Latin Yankee, as he is known in Rome, worked 20 years in Peru's poorest enclave, falling so in love with the country that he became a naturalized citizen. His commitment there echoes the legacy of Pope Francis, an Argentine who became the Catholic Church's first leader from South America. He's right out of Francis's playbook, said Catherine Sproes Cummings, a professor of history at the University of Notre Dame. He ticks off all the boxes of a future pope, a pastoral heart, management experience, and vision.
And as historically black colleges and universities grapple with declining black male enrollment, Howard University's Kings of Campus initiative is working to reverse the trend through mentorship, exposure, and addressing systematic barriers.
Now in its third year, the program targets middle and high school students in partnership with school districts to build a pipeline for young black men to see themselves in higher education. With Howard's black male population at 19%, Calvin Hadley is Howard's assistant provost for student engagement and academic partnerships. He says the issue needs to be addressed swiftly.
We are really a clarion call for the world, right? Because there's a significant concentration here and we're able to feel this a little bit more, but it's really just illuminating what is a national issue.
Howard's model offers a blueprint for Mississippi, where HBCUs such as Jackson State and Alcorn State face similar challenges. I'm Tramell Gomes.
And with Mother's Day coming up, some Pennsylvania lawmakers are backing a set of bills that could help improve maternal health.
The Black Maternal Health Caucus introduced the updated PA Momnibus 2.0 package in April, focused on tackling disparities in maternal health care by improving access to services. Black women in the state are nearly twice as likely to die from childbirth complications, and State Representative Latasha D. Mays says 93% of maternal deaths are preventable.
All the bills are for all moms, and because we know when we fix and address and take on maternal mortality and morbidity for Black moms, we solve it for every mom and birthing person in the Commonwealth.
For Public News Service, I'm Shantia Hudson.
And next to Alabama, where advocates are calling for a closer look at the origins of the Habitual Felony Offenders Act, a state law which adds mandatory prison time for people with prior convictions. Daniel Lohr, an associate professor at City University New York School of Law, says the policy stems from a belief that some people are more likely to be criminals.
There was a belief that people who committed crimes multiple times must have criminality in their genes.
A recent report by the Sentencing Project connects these policies to eugenicist beliefs, suggesting that they target certain racial groups and attempt to control or remove them from society. This is Public News Service. Congressional Republicans are poised to move forward with a proposal that would bring major cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program.
SNAP benefits cover certain grocery costs for low-income Americans, and the program could be swept up in $230 billion worth of funding cuts over the next decade if the plan passes. And one provision calls on states to pick up some of the funding, even though many legislatures would face difficulties in finding the money. Sophia Linares-Coy with the Food Group in Minnesota says beyond recipients, local economies would be disrupted too.
Certainly folks are going to farmers markets to use their SNAP, so that's going to be an impact to farmers' bottom lines.
She says it's also likely local grocery stores will see reduced activity, especially in rural areas where program participation is higher. The USDA argues the Trump administration is trying to right-size the program, but even some House Republicans express worry. I'm Mike Moen.
And veteran lawmakers from Georgia and across the nation warned that rolling back federal climate protection threatens Americans' energy security and democracy.
At a D.C. summit, elected officials to protect America underscored how the Inflation Reduction Act has delivered clean energy jobs and environmental justice gains. Actress Yetide Badaki was among them and cautioned that this progress is now under threat, urging Americans that now is the time to take action for justice and defend key climate laws.
Until January 2025, for the first time, communities that had been left behind from the American dream were experiencing economic and environmental justice opportunities with the Inflation Reduction Act.
Badaki reminded the audience that protecting climate laws isn't just about policy. It's about ensuring opportunity, justice, and a better future for communities across the country.
Shantia Hudson reporting.
Finally, over the past 15 years, folks in West Virginia have been shelling out more of their income each month on energy bills.
Emmett Pepper with Energy Efficient West Virginia says coal is now an expensive choice for producing energy compared with renewable resources. He adds Big Coal's grip on the state is costing households.
We have monopolies in West Virginia for our electric utilities, so they should be run in a way that is the most cost-effective, reducing the bills for West Virginians.
Residents have seen their average electricity price jump by 90% since the early 2000s, according to Conservation West Virginia. The West Virginia Coal Association argues ramping up coal production will lower consumers' bills. Nadia Romlagan reporting.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our content and trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.